19, verse 7. Verse makes me want to sing a song. Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
Yet another privilege to be able to assemble ourselves together on this evening for no other purpose than to worship in spirit, right frame of mind. God is the object of our worship, and in truth, according to Holy Writ, according to the Word of God, His revealed will. And that's what we're going to be talking about on tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. This will serve as our lesson text and also the scripture that our brother Joel read into our hearing, Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7. Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And the scripture reading that Brother Joel read into our hearing, I read it again just for emphasis' sake. The psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Key word on this evening will be testimony. Testimony. Testimony means witness, bore in behalf of something or somebody. Testimony comes about because there is someone who is able to testify. There is someone who's able to proclaim or say something that has some validity to it. You have either seen something that you're talking about, or you know something because of an established fact that you're talking about. During the days of Israel, Isaiah says in our lesson text, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. I want you to know that God's word is infallible. And when God speaks, everybody ought to listen. Isn't that right? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And sometime after God did that, He allowed Moses to write that. That became a part of God's word. And as you study the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, you will see that all that is existence is here because God spoke. God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, one old preacher said one time that God didn't have to say it but one time. And things began to happen. But it just seemed like when He began to talk to us, God had to start repeating Himself. Isn't that right? You know, some of us are just so hard-headed and so stubborn. Amen. But during the days of Israel, false prophets arose. something to write, if they are talking, if they are giving testimony, I want you to know that if it's not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I want to tell you that anytime you are where God is, you are where light is. Amen. Anytime you are where the Word of God is, you are where light is. David says in our lesson text that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that's what we're all about as Christians, trying to get the soul of a man converted. Because that's the real issue of a man. You don't see the soul, and I don't see the soul. But we all have a soul. We are living souls, isn't that right? In our lesson text, the psalmist says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, I want the brother to help me along here, and we'll be through in just a little while. So have your Bibles ready. Brother Darrell, in John chapter 3 and verse 11, that's going to be our first stop for this evening. And we want to establish the fact of how we ought to testify and how we ought to have a good testimony. And while you're turning over there, let me just tell you what we'll be talking about on this evening. And it's going to come to you in the form of a question. I'm asking everyone that is present here on tonight, what is your testimony? What is your testimony? And I want to tell you up front that God's got one. Oh yeah, God's got one. His word testifies. God's word testifies from Genesis to Revelations. Is a bona fide testimony. See, Darrell, ready to sit down again, ain't you? Hold on, Darrell. God's word testifies. And if anybody in the world ought to have a testimony, it ought to be Christians in the Church of Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. We know what we're talking about. Y'all can say amen. 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 We know what we have seen, and we know what God has done for us. So I'm asking us on this evening, what is your testimony? If you don't have one, I'm urging you to hurry up and get one. Amen. You need one. Amen. And if you're not in the Church of Christ, you're not going to have the proper testimony. Amen. Now remember the account in John chapter 3? This is what Darrell is going to read here when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And I'm not concerned as to why Nicodemus came by night. I just love the fact that he came. And he came, and by him coming, we are able to learn a valuable lesson. So in John chapter 3, verse 11, this is part of the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Now listen, what did Jesus say to Nicodemus there? Go and read.
Verily, verily.
Verily, verily.
I say unto thee.
I say unto thee. Watch this now.
We speak that we do know.
We speak that we do know. Watch this.
And testify.
And testify.
That we have seen.
What we have seen. Now this is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Go ahead and sit down there. Now this is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Now Nicodemus was a teacher. Oh yeah, Nicodemus was a teacher. He held a position in Israel. And then Jesus said to him, being who you are, you ought to know some things. But Nicodemus didn't. Nicodemus came and he wanted to understand some things. Jesus said, you must be born again. Number one, to see the kingdom. Number two, to enter the kingdom. And then he told him how he must be born again. With water and the Spirit. And he went on to say, now Nicodemus, you ought to know this. We speak. You see that? understand what it means when the Bible says speak, don't you? We all the time running our mouths and we all the time got something to say. Well, when we speak, praise God, help us to understand when we speak, we ought to speak that we do know. Isn't that right? I don't have time to be fooling around with something I don't know. Amen. I ain't gonna do nothing but mess that up anyway. But Jesus said, we speak that we do know. And do what? What else did it say, Darrell? Darrell, I'm gonna sit down.
You told me to.
Okay. What else did it say, Darrell?
And testify.
He said, and testify.
That we have seen.
What we have seen. Now, I can say some things about our denominational friends here, but I'm going to leave that alone tonight. But you see, Jesus said, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen. Now, some of you all looking at me like, well, how in the world are we supposed to do that as Christians? Don't you know some things? Don't you know some things? I know some things. Now, I don't know everything. I don't give nobody the impression that I know all there is to know. But I know where the truth is. Every bit of it in God's Word, isn't that right?
Amen.
And I live long enough and I've studied it long enough to know some things for myself. Don't go help along, ain't you? Amen. John chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. This is Jesus Christ doing the talking here. And Jesus in this text is making a reference to the Torah. He goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 17, verses 6, and also Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. Jesus is saying in John 8, verse 17 and 18, he says, it's written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Now watch this in verse 18. Jesus says, I am one witness and I bear witness of myself. Watch this. And the Father that has sent me bear witness of me. Jesus is telling these Jews, I'm telling you about myself. Now, I mean, you might have a problem believing it. You might have a problem accepting it. But you got to accept the fact that I'm telling you. Amen. Jesus says, I'm telling you about myself. Jesus is testifying about himself. You see that? He says, I'm giving you a witness of myself. Then he said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus says, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And these, now let me get this just right now. He says, and they are they which testify of me. You see what Jesus said? He said, why are you fighting me so? Why are you fighting me so? When God gave the word was given as testimony. Y'all don't know nothing on here. The word of God, the scriptures, testify of me, Jesus said. So the scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. Alright, now John chapter 3, beginning in verse 32 and 33. I believe John the Baptist had something to say about it. Go on, read there.
And what he hath seen.
This is John the Baptist now. And what he hath seen.
And heard.
And heard
that he testified.
That he testified. Everybody didn't act foolish. Everybody didn't walk away from Jesus. There were some who did receive his testimony. And you've already found out that Jesus had to tell him, I'm one witness. My Father is a second witness. And if you just pay attention to your law, look, you can at least accept me for who I am. If you just pay attention to what's written in your law. Because the scriptures testify of Jesus. I testify of me. John the Baptist testify me. Well, is there anybody else doing any testifying? I'm going to get us here in a few minutes. Is anybody else doing any testifying? All right. John chapter 15, girl, verse 26. You're going to see the Spirit has something to say. The Spirit bore witness on behalf of Jesus as well. All right. John 15, verse 26. Go on, read.
But when the Comforter is come.
Watch this now. Jesus said, when the Comforter is come. Whom I will send unto you.
From the Father.
What's he going to do?
Even the Spirit of
truth. Even the Spirit of truth.
Which proceedeth from the Father.
Which proceedeth from the Father.
He shall testify
of
me.
Now, the Holy Spirit. He shall testify of me. Oh, look at the Spirit now. Look at the Spirit now. Stop being so foolish. And looking for the impossible. Stop wallowing on the floor and running up and down the aisles. Talking about you have the Holy Ghost. But listen to what the Spirit's job is. The Bible says the Spirit's job was to testify of Jesus. Amen. That's what this Holy Spirit's job was. To testify of Jesus Christ. See, a lot of folks claiming to have the Holy Spirit. But doing everything but the testifying of Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a lot of folk testifying going on, but ain't nothing in there about Jesus. Ain't nothing in there about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to testify of Jesus. Amen. What do you have? You have Jesus testifying of himself. You have the scriptures testifying of Jesus. You have God the Father testifying of Jesus Christ. You got John the Baptist testifying of Jesus. The Holy Spirit himself is testifying of Jesus Christ. With all this going on, I need to find me a testimony somewhere. Y'all gonna help along here. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, I'm getting us now. Getting to the Church of Christ now. Oh yeah. It does now. Every Christian is familiar with Acts chapter 2. That's the birthday of the Lord's church on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Church of Christ was born. The Bible says when Peter and the rest of the apostles preached the gospel to those folk, they found out that they were guilty of sin. And they cry out in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter gave the answer. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 41, about 3,000 souls were added unto them. But listen. Listen, Peter wasn't finished. Peter wasn't finished. In verse number 40, what does it say there? In Acts 2.
And with many other words.
Now, and with many other words.
Did he testify?
Did he testify? Now here's what I want to get out of this. My name ain't Peter. But it's Steve Buck. Amen. That's a biblical thing. Yes, it is. But the same gospel that Peter preached, I'm preaching the same gospel that Peter preached. Wayne preached the same gospel this morning. Amen. Same gospel. We're using the same words. Isn't that right? The book says, and with many other words, did he testify and exalt sin? Saying, what did it say there?
Saying, save yourself.
Save yourself.
from this untoward
from
generation.
From this untoward or crooked or perverted generation. Do you think we live in a crooked generation today? Yeah. What is our job today? Aren't we trying to get people to come to Jesus Christ to be saved? Amen. That's the meaning of the save yourself. The save yourself in that text doesn't mean that you don't need anybody else. That's not what he's talking about. In the saving yourself is when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what our job is all about. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 10, is the job of the church to make known to the world the manifold wisdom of God. That's our job. And it's not just the preacher's job. Y'all gonna help me along here. It's not just the preacher's job. It's all our job. It's all our job as the church to make known to the world the glorious news of the gospel. We have to testify and exalt sin. But what we're gonna do, we gotta use the word. Isn't that right? We gotta use the word. Save yourself, Peter said, from this perverted, crooked generation. This generation is crooked, and somebody needs to take a stand for God. Y'all gonna help me along here? Amen. Somebody needs to stand up and start giving testimony. That's what the book is for. You know, sometimes it saddens my heart. And sometimes it even brings out my godly wrath that we are the last folk on earth to stand up for anything. Now you can say amen if you want to. The right is right. Amen. Soon as something happens, soon as something going on in our community, where are the Christians? Where they at? You can say amen. The right is right. I don't want to get off on that kick, but we need to get back out in front where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be pointing forth to God. Yeah. Amen. I know this tea tastes a little sweet to you tonight, and you don't want me stirring it up. Amen. We need to give a testimony. Peter had a testimony. Peter had a testimony. The Bible says, and with many other words did he testify and exalt sin. There ought to be many words that we can use from the scriptures to testify and exhort people to obey Jesus Christ. But we're going to have to stand up to do it. You got to stand up to do it. But as I said earlier, if anybody in the world should have a testimony, it ought to be those of us in the Church of Christ. Let me tell you something. Some of us have lived long enough to know what God can do. Some of us have. When you open your Bible and read Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, to the new convert, that might not mean that much. But to those of us who've been here a while, who had to weather the storm, who had to climb up on the rough side of the mountain, and God brought you to the other side, you ought to have a testimony. Amen. Some of you have been sick. You've been down when the doctors looked at you and just shook the head. But you're still here. You ought to have a testimony. Amen. You ought to have a testimony. You were able to read it. And you have experienced it. And you can be a great source of encouragement to those who are coming on. And see, that's the way I view the Apostle Paul. Paul, who had lived his life and hazarded his life for the cause of Christ. And when he knew it was time for him to leave the scene, he wrote to the young man, Timothy, and he was not that it was time for him to go. He was not scared that it was time for him to go. But he offered this young man some encouraging words by telling him to preach the word. He said, be instant in season, in our season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Paul said, my time is here now. It's time for me to leave here. But he said, but I want you to know something. Even though my own brethren have misused me, even though I've been shipwrecked and I've been beaten and left for dead, Paul said, I want you to know, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Paul said, I finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But he said, not to me only, but to all them who love his appearance. You know, one of the prettiest things I ever heard was a sister who was about to die. She was on a deathbed. And some of the brothers were kneeling down at a bedside. And on her bedside, she said, all I want you to do is preach the prayer. On her deathbed, she had a testimony. She said, preach the word, because I have been living for this. Because I know what the word would do. Amen. Preach the word. Last but not least, I want us to look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 42 and 43. We'll close this lesson up tonight. I think we know we should have a testimony. And we know what our testimony ought to be. So I'm asking you tonight, what is your testimony? Every child of God needs to have a testimony. Every child of God needs to be able to say what the Lord would do for others, because you know what he's done for you. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. What does the Bible say there?
And he commanded us.
And he commanded us.
To preach.
Now here again, Peter is rehearsing some things that had happened at the house of Cornelius. And he said that he commanded us to preach. And to do what?
To preach unto the people.
He said he commanded us to preach to the people. Now here again, when you look at a gospel preacher and you want to know where he gets his authority from, come over here. Come over here. Because Peter said, Peter is telling these Jews what Jesus had done. And he commanded us to preach. Now, next time, folks, try to run your preacher down for preaching. Or next time you try to run him down for preaching, just come on over here. Come on over here. Because we are under direct command to preach to the people. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Stop all this getting up quoting poetry and telling jokes and get up and preach. Somebody go help them over here. Because that's what we're commanded to do. Without preaching, folk can't be saved. Amen. Peter said he commanded us to preach to the people. And what, Darrell?
And to testify.
And to testify. There it is. Oh, look, that's why I told you, I got to have one. I got to have one. If I can't testify, I might as well stop preaching. Amen. I said, if I can't testify, I might as well sit down somewhere. You're commanded to preach. And do what, Darrell?
And to testify.
And to testify what?
That it is he.
That it is he.
Which was ordained by God.
Which was ordained by God.
To be the judge.
To be the judge.
Of quick and dead.
Of quick and dead. Look at that. Now that's what I'm doing. You see? Now I don't have to worry about my testimony. Because when I testify, I'm speaking what I know. I'm speaking what I know. So how you know, Butler? Because it's written. Because it's written. That's how I know. Amen. I'm in trouble when I start talking about some things I can't count my 66 on. 66 books, people. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Amen. That's when all the trouble starts. When I can't pull open the Bible and show you what I'm talking about. Amen. But as long as I can testify about Jesus and get 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and the fear of God, everything is copacetic. So what's 1 Thessalonians 5:21? Prove all things. You know what it says? Prove all things. As long as I can do that, no problem. No problem. Everything's copacetic. To him, go ahead and read it, girl.
To him give all the prophets witness.
Now, I don't have time to deal with all these prophets. But I think you go sit down there. Thank you. But I think they came on down the line. Jeremiah said, you know, it frustrated Jeremiah, so he just cried. Jeremiah just cried. He said, I wish my head was water and my eyes a fountain of tears. He said, I just cried for Israel. Jeremiah 9:1. Because they needed crying for. They needed crying for. Hosea, one of the minor prophets that you were studying here on Wednesday night. Hosea went through natural hell with the children of Israel. Amen. They were trying to get us to understand the relationship between God and his people. Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, and on we can go. But the prophets gave witness to Jesus. And the latter part of that text says in Acts 10:43, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. If preachers, if brothers and sisters will get busy testifying about Jesus being the judge of the living and the dead, then people can be saved. They can receive remission of sin if they believe on his name. Isn't that what the book says? Amen. But it's going to take us to stand up and do it. We got to stand up and do it. And when a man will put the word in it, he has all the light that he needs. Amen. Going back to our lesson text. Isaiah said, if any man speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in him. It has to be to the law and to the testimony. Let your testimony be based on facts. Let it be based on God's word. Amen. That's my testimony. And it's sure. It'll convert the soul. Paul said to Titus in Titus 2:1, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. If your testimony is according to what's written, even your experiences in life, because you are a child of God, it will stand. It'll stand. But if God be for you, who can be against you? As long as you will obey God rather than man, the book, the word of God is full of testimony. All we're asking you to do is repeat what's already here. Amen.
Amen.
You may be the only Bible your friends, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors. You may be the only Bible that they ever read. The invitation of the Lord is extended. The invitation of the Lord is extended. If you're here tonight, you are not a child of God. One cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian. Until you are born again as the Bible teaches. And you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45, Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must repent. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. You must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 48. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. If you are a Christian, you've not been living the testimony that you've been given. You brought the church to open shame. You don't even know who you are anymore. You need to come forward too for repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Whatever you need, please come. While together we stand and sing the invitation song, please come.